This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Aren't you ready for international break to be over? It's certainly been a dull one.
Sir, it's been a while. Great to be back in the bunker, recording another great podcast here. The American Red Devils Studios. It's winter time. I think we need some space heaters. What do you think?
Sir, back where we belong. It is getting a little bit colder as fall approaches winter. Might be about time to invest in one of those. It could be a good upgrade.
Amazing story on Twitter today. One of our great Manchester United fans tweeted me, I think Poch is out at Spurs. I literally checked my Twitter feed, looked at BBC Sport. That was a top article. Pochettino sacked. Manchester United fans all over social media talking about it. There's a lot of Ole in. There's a lot of Poch in, sir. So that we do have our international break story, our headline.
We got plenty to talk about. Pochettino getting the sack after a poor run of games. But to be honest, they're only 2 points lower than we are at the moment. It's that packed in the middle of the park. But hey, he's on the market, sir. Are you interested in maybe adding Pochettino to the list of potential suitors after, if Ole was to move on?
I would rate him as probably number one. I mean, who else would you put on that list?
Jose Mourinho's looking for a job.
I think we already went down the Mourinho path.
We did that, played that game.
Unless there's new ownership, I don't think Mourinho's ever coming back to Manchester United. And Pogba has not left this team yet, sir, so don't think those two get along either.
No doubt about that, sir. But you're absolutely right. He's probably the most best manager on the market now, for sure. You don't have to pay that exorbitant buyout clause that Levy was looking for. Apparently £40 million was the rumor number to get him out of his contract, and now he's available on the free. But Ole's at the wheel, sir. We've won four of the last five games, had a nice uptick since the Liverpool game, and things look a little bit brighter.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy season for Manchester United. The last international break saved us. Like you said, we had a great game against Liverpool. Four out of five. I think the mood of fans is pretty dire. We're seventh place in the table right now, but four of five.
It's better than
it
was.
With this team, depleted, basically. Tons of injuries as well, and we are doing that. I mean, four or five. So, why is everyone so upset on Twitter?
Sorry,
people are not in a good mood about the team.
I think we just miss football. I think that's part of the sentiment is people are just missing their club play. But we had a good win, the most recent one against Brighton. So there's plenty.
It was the Bournemouth away loss. It's how we lost at Bournemouth, I think, is why everyone's extra salty about it. But again, talking about Pochettino, when Ole's could be turning the corner, and if you look at what he's doing it with, youth, exactly the Manchester United way. It hasn't even been half a season and everyone already wants his head. So you got to give Ole the year. You got to see how he does, right?
No
doubt. Got a lot of cup competitions, Europa League, sort of that Carabao Cup energy drink, probably could go to the final if we make it.
A lot of big silverware up for grabs still for the rest of the season.
My favorite cup of all the cups.
The best energy drink.
I don't want the Champions League. I want the Carabao Cup.
So good they don't even offer it in the United States. That's how you know it's a top class drink. But like you said, plenty of silverware left to play for. So we're going to see how the rest of the season plays out. Cause as you said, give Ole the season, certainly give him through, the January fixtures, because there's gonna be a lot of games coming up over the holidays and you never know. Pochettino could be available at the end of the season. You might be looking to make a change if we go back to our dire straits, earlier in the season, but hey, things are looking on the up and up. I'm going to be an optimist and I want to see more, high octane football.
Sir, at the end of the day, it comes down to the simple fact. Ole's at the wheel. One of the greatest chants of all time.
All time.
I don't
stick
think
it in the womb. It's so popular you stick it in the womb, I've heard. That's the river.
I definitely sang it to Jack while he was in the womb. Epic Manchester United song. But at the end of the day, Ole really has to earn the job. I think anyone at Manchester United has to earn the job. Like Mourinho, he had to earn it. Kind of had that terrible season foul with Pogba. He lost it, right? A lot of managers have lost it. I don't think he's lost it yet. I think he needed the time. I think getting rid of those players in the summer really put him on the back foot. And if he's able to accomplish, if we're okay in the league, we might be able to strike for top four. We win a cup. and we're playing well, and the fans are, we're playing attacking football, we're scoring goals, the players are improving, the tactics are improving. As long as that is the case for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, there's no way that we should be talking about Pochettino over him, right? It's a results-based game. I want the Glazers to make it on results. Like, Ole probably shouldn't have gotten the job based on last year's results. Like, I think he ultimately could have lost it, but we're in this position. Give him time. I say give him time.
I mean, ultimately, it's his job to lose, right? He's been given it. We all are rooting for him. Every Manchester United fan wants Ole to succeed as manager, I think, if they're heart to hearts. You know, if they are a true and proper Manchester United fan, they would want Ole to succeed in this run as manager. So I'm certainly rooting for him. I hope he can kick on this nice form of positive spells and, you know, put some more good performances together. We have to be able to go win on the road. That's huge. We haven't been able to do it this season, especially against teams that are actually usually below us, but Sheffield United happens to be above us, sir, the team that we're playing on the weekend.
Yeah, Sheffield going on a run, sir. That's right. We got a next match. That's why we're coming back. International break. See you later. Don't really care much
Rashford about got a couple the international.
I mean, that move he pulled, I saw on Twitter, was pretty dirty. I do not watch all the England games. I'm not that bought in. I'm a U.S. men's national team fan at my core.
We don't have all the streams either, you know? It's a lot of streams.
Either way, we got a peach of a match to break down. Sheffield United versus Manchester United, sir. Bramall Lane, Sunday, November 24th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. United have played Sheffield United 6 times in the Premier League era, winning 5 and losing 1, sir. I like those odds. And United last played Sheffield in April 2007, winning 2-0 with goals from Carrick and Wayne Rooney-Waza up front, sir. Your man.
2007, a lot's changed since then. A
great jersey as well, sir, I recall. No Chevrolet.
AIG, I believe.
There. Fifth place Sheffield United are targeting a third consecutive home win and a clean sheet after beating Arsenal 1-0 and Burnley 3-0 in their last outings. Bramall Lane, sir, it's a fortress. Absolute fortress.
Tough stadium for Premier League teams to travel to, especially teams like Manchester United that have not been very effective on the road. So the United boys are going to have to bring it. I think you're going to look at a team that's willing to sit back and absorb Manchester United's attacking threat, and then, you know, we're going to have to break them down.
As always, that seems to be the theme, but they are 1 point ahead of us, like you said, in the table. And a little history on Sheffield United, formed in 1889 as an offshoot of Sheffield United Cricket Club. A lot of cricket clubs.
Oh, it starts with the cricket.
Football clubs, sir. That's how they did it back in the day. And they are nicknamed the Blades due to Sheffield's history of steel production. You can see the swords in the club crest. The club have played their home games at Bramall Lane since their formation in 1889. Old school Bramall Lane,
love
sir.
It. Love
so
it,
now,
sir.
A little history. Capacity, 32,000. So, you know, when they say Bramall Lane, you're going to know. Fortress, mate.
Probably a fun stadium to go have a dark ale or two.
Probably great dark ale, sir. Sheffield United won the original Football League in 1898 and the FA Cup in 1899, 1902, 1915, and 1925. They were beaten finalists in the FA Cup in 1901 and 1936. So a lot of history for Sheffield United early days in the invention of football. After that, you know, it's been tough times, Sheffield, sir.
Not so much recently.
For most of the club's history, they've played in red and white striped shirts with black shorts. Their closest rivals are Sheffield Wednesday. I'm sure you've heard that, with whom they contest the Steel City Derby. That's another great derby name. I love these derbies, sir. A lot of great history there.
A lot of good regional derbies with their own interesting names.
Hey, you know, if they stay up, we might need to go away. Bramall Lane.
Sounds good to me.
Checking on the Premier League table, Manchester United in 7th, 16th point. 16 points. Arsenal, Sheffield United tied on 17, but Sheffield fifth on a goal differential. Pure muppetry, mate. Man City in fourth with 25 points. Chelsea in third, sir. This is just tough coming out. 26 points, tied with Leicester. I would have to root for Leicester over Chelsea and Manchester City there. And then Liverpool, sky high, 34 points. It's tough to say, sir. 8-point lead, top of the table. Mourinho says it is over. What do you think? Just a quick comment on the league. Liverpool at the top. Do we need to manage our expectations for Liverpool to win the title?
I mean, I think we should be preparing for that. The inevitable. It's 30 years on. It's like, it's probably written in the history books. They are due. You know, they bottled it enough times, haven't they? They're like the only team to be leading at Christmas twice and then still lose it.
Sir, 7 points last season. It's 8 points now. Not giving up hope. They're definitely going to run through a tough patch of form. If you look last year, it was around the turn of the holidays that was tough on Liverpool. Although City couldn't beat them at Anfield, that was disappointing. But you're right. They're on the edge. They're on the edge. If it was another win in hand, I would say it's done, but I think they're not quite there. In the holiday season, as a United fan, you know you don't look at the table until after the holidays if you're in the race.
Well, you don't. The only problem is you don't have a really worthy number two because City's kind of fallen off this year more so than they were, obviously, last year as champions. So they're not nipping at their heels in the same manner. Leicester City is the heir apparent now at second place, looking like a worthy adversary as well. But I think Liverpool, it's certainly their race to lose, sir. You know, they're in pole position. Pains me to say it, but
I don't know.
If they don't win it, it's on them.
They've gotten a lot of call. I'm like, this is just me going hard anti-Liverpool. Get a lot of calls from VAR. That's going to stop.
A lot of diving.
Apparently, you got the Sané, Salah feud there. Our Mane-Salah feud. Something's got to give at Liverpool. Something's going to happen. Someone's going to leave. I could see if they lose the title, the whole team blows up. That'd be great. So we're not out of it yet, sir. They haven't won it yet.
Say there's a chance.
So I'm not going to give up on that. Sir, we got quite a few injuries. You want to give us the take?
Absolutely, sir. So
per the physioroom.com, sir, the best injury sources.
First of the list is Eric Bailly, long-term injury. Has a return date of December, so it'll be a minute before we get him back. Paul Pogba is obviously on the list with the ankle injury. Expected back in a couple of weeks. Alex Twanzebe, Nemanja Matic, Luke Shaw, Ashley Young, Diego Dalo. A lot of defenders unavailable. Scott McTominay just recently injured his ankle with no return date yet. And then right on the list is Timothy Fosu-Mensah, sir. So quite a few injuries. Not a lot of available players for us to pick from. But Ole's going to cobble together 11. No problem.
Yeah, no, and it looks like Dalo, Young, Shaw, Matic, and Twanzebe, they're fighting fitness for this match. So we haven't gotten an update from Ole. The presser will drop if we're playing Sunday, probably Saturday. So Ole will give an update there. I don't think any of these players are going to start, but they could feature on the bench, right? Obviously, Ashley Young on the 5 yellow cards, cheeky mate from Ashley Young. Nothing like a 5 yellow card suspension before Christmas.
They add up quickly when you're Ashley Young.
Tactical fouls, mate. Sir, lineup, who do you got? Who's going to start when we play Sheffield on Sunday?
Well, here's my starting 11, sir. I'm thinking who else but Dave Sayes in net, back four of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, and Young. I think he makes it. He doesn't make it, obviously, because he's suspended. So Brandon Williams is going to be my left back. And then a midfield of McTominay, Fred, and Pereira, and a front three of James, Tony Martial came from France, and red hot Marcus Rashford.
All right, sir, I'm going to counter with world number one, Dave Saves in net, Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire. I'm going to say B-dubs, sir. That's a new nickname. Brandon Williams playing at left back.
I like it.
McTominay, Fred, Mata, James, Martial, and Rashford. Like that B-dubs in there, sir. I think he's the best left back we got. Why would you play Ashley Young there?
Well, he's not available. I was wrong to include him in my list initially. But I agree. The young promising left back is
not available. Like, B Dubs is not available.
No, B Dubs is available. Ash Young is not available. I initially had him on my list, and I had to make a quick retort and change my selection. So looking forward to seeing the young left back. I don't think Luke Shaw is going to feature coming off that long term injury.
Sorry, he's had a few meat pies. He's packed on the pounds. Sorry,
he's always had an issue with his weight.
Luke Shaw. Terrible. I mean, I wish he would have met his potential, but it looks like B-Dubs is in. Luke Shaw out, in my opinion. What do you think?
I think he's showing a ton of promise. The player looks hungry, like he's ready to, you know, put a good good kick about every time he goes in the field. So I think he is certainly in pole position to take over that position from Luke Shaw.
You're a Shaw fan, right? You're like
I'm rooting for him.
You were pumped on Luke Shaw. I was excited about him, right?
He's a young, much lauded defender coming off Southampton. Everyone was pretty excited about him, and he just hasn't, you know, ever since he broke his leg, hasn't really returned to the form that he showed for a glimpse under Louis van Gaal when he was peak fitness. He's had a hard time refining that fitness, so I think Brandon Williams.
Hey,
we're all excited about that.
Competition's good. This is Manchester United. You know, this isn't the Sunday league. So it's like whoever's the best gets the job. And if Brandon's playing the best, he gets a job. If Luke Shaw comes back, you never know. You never know. Booking the bookies, looking at the odds, Manchester United plus 120 to win, Sheffield United plus 250, the draw plus 220, sir. I mean, it is a way, right? So for Manchester United, you're getting money if you bet. It's only 20%, right? So
I mean, given our run of form away, that's tough for me to touch. So not enough upside for United, and it's hard to make that bet.
And Sheffield, ahead in the table. So again, Manchester United, the favorites, but it's going to be a tough, if we win this match, this is, we're waiting for that breakout match. We're winning the must wins, right? If you look at the four of the last five, we're winning the must wins, but we need to kind of get a big game in the table, right?
Big game in the table and also a big game on the road and just showing that we can bring a strong performance for 90 minutes, go away, get it, maybe get a clean sheet as well, and just get a victory and get all 3 points because we haven't been able to do that, you know, other than playing Chelsea, but that was in the League Cup. So we need to be able to go and do it because after a game like
Norwich, but they're
in relegation zone. So you know, Sheffield United is a much better team. So we're gonna be tested, and it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be a true proving ground to see if we're up to snuff, sir.
All right, we're gonna get into United in the news, sir. Manchester United reveal rise of 100 million in net debt in latest financial report, and clearly, financials are a big part of Manchester United, and the Glazers just upping that debt. And if you look at the asset, our background's in finance. If you actually look at the team, the valuation, the enterprise value of it, it's not insane, but it's the fact that they're not investing that money into the club. So I don't know what they're doing with the team. They have tons of, basically value to draw down on. If you look at how much the club's worth, $4 billion in the stock market, not exactly, but if they were to be bought around that value, people will loan them quite a bit of money. They could fix the stadium. They could invest in the squad. They can make Manchester United the number one team in the world. It's the number one football brand in the world, I would argue, but the talent and the stadium just doesn't add up. They could clearly do us right. They don't, and that's my issue. Debt is just a part of running a business, but it's the fact they're not investing that money in the club. That's the real problem.
You spot on, mate. I mean, they're not investing anywhere in the squad. They've lowered the wage bills, and at the same time, you have net debt going up by a tremendous amount year over year. So, you know, it shows a lack of care in the long-term vision of this club and the fact that they're willing to just really take as much money off the table as possible, leverage this club as they continue to do, and not good, sir. That's why we're Glazer out. You have to be Glazer out because at the end of the day, they don't care about this club like the rest of us do. So about time.
Yeah, so for all those who are rocking the Glazers Out scarf and the Glazers Out American Red Devils t-shirt, this is why we do it. It's like, this is the issue with the club, the ownership, not investing in the team. I think January, I've been hearing rumors, sir, a lot of Muppetry in the press.
A lot of rumors.
We're going to do a double swoop for Sancho.
And Holland, bro. Big money. Big money buys.
And it's just like, I feel like I'm getting coal for Christmas, sir.
I mean, based on our last couple of Christmases, I would expect coal, or a block of wood. I use a block of wood like slab head, but we could use another like big buy for sure. So if you're going to go, we're not going to get Sancho and Holland in January.
But that's the rumor, sir. If they came out like
coal.com. Look, it's a credited source. Metro. Top tier.
No, but it's always a chance that United might just like, do that 1-2, like we're Manchester United, we're back, baby. Like they did the Paul P, the Lukaku, but maybe they kind of recharged, they're ready to go.
It's hard to do in January.
All stars, sir. Not Mandzukic. We're gonna get Holland instead of Mandzukic.
I like that. Instead of getting the bargain buy, you're getting long term prospect. Apparently, he was at Carrington. That was like the rumor that his dad, who I believe is his agent, but he was at Carrington, which is a positive side. He obviously had the mold of Norwegian connection with Ole. I like to see him. I like to see Sancho. And I like to see real money spent. That's all I want to see. I want to see an investment in this team. You've moved a lot of players out and haven't replaced them. And January is a great time to do so.
And look, if they step up their game on that front, that will be welcomed by the fans, obviously. But I'm trying to be like a realist. Like the fan in me dreams of these like great mega deals. But I have to be a pragmatist. I have to say, look, they're not going to spend the money. They're just going to drain all the funds out of this team. I see a Mandzukic. He's cheap, wants to leave. It just seems to me those deals are going to be more the way Manchester United want to go, which is like, you'll be like, okay, well, he's okay.
He's better than nobody. He's a proven striker. He has some goals under his belt. He hasn't kicked the ball all year. Hasn't played a minute, really. But he's better than nobody. He's better than an empty seat.
And Lukaku had a statement. He came out and said another bit of news here. He said that basically he wanted to leave England. It wasn't Ole kind of forcing him out. And I was like, oh, that seems like pretty big of Lukaku to admit. I don't know if he's trying to patch it up with the United fan base. but it does seem that, you know, he wanted to leave England Inter.
Well, I think he was, you know, he's played a lot of years.
You're a big Lukaku guy, so I thought it was a big statement. It was a nice statement from him.
Yeah, know? I mean, it's good for him to say. I don't know if it changes my opinion about the guy. Maybe he was looking for a change of pace, change of language, change of attitude. But, you know, they're not always the friendliest to new players coming into the league. So I hope he's enjoying his football. That's all I got to say. I miss some of the goals, miss some of the contributions, but I like the way we're going with Rashford, with Greenwood, with Martial, you know, speed, attacking prowess, tactful play. It's all good, but it's a different style than we got from Lukaku.
Sir, that's why we brought the Lukaku shirt, offering to the footballing gods.
Didn't that go fast?
Next bit of news here, Real escape. Manchester United set to steal Gareth Bale transfer in January. Wah, wah.
What do you think? Sir, I included it. Son. Do you not think there's any legs in this?
How dare you? This is not, I wouldn't even put this in the pod, but I will just for a riot. Like, come on. Like, it's almost like, I saw this article.
I still think it's possible.
You want Gareth Bale?
I'm not saying
team.
I do. I'm just saying I feel like, you know, you make a Mandzukic and a Bale instead of getting Sancho because they're not going to get Champions League football. It just feels like a Woodward signing. It felt like Sanchez 2.0.
Sir, if we
30-year-old Gareth Bale is ready to lace up his boots for Manchester United.
Honestly, that proves that Woodward's calling the shots. Right?
Well, he is calling the shots.
He's made of glass. He's aging. He is on insane amounts of money. Like, basically, we'll sell a ton of jerseys to like the likes of yourself. But like double Chevrolet on
the
pad.
Jerseys.
We'll not only put the badge on the front, we'll put it on the side, sir, as well. You know, on that Gareth Bale shirt for extra sponsorship. But you know, this just is Muppetry. We can't have it. We need young players. We're going in a young direction. It's like, we don't need Gareth Bale. We got Dan James on the right. Where would he play?
He's the Welshman we need. You put him on right winger.
I mean, I'd see him playing number nine, right? Like Ronaldo plays nine at Madrid. You can put him up there. I don't know. It just seems to me like if you look at the way Ole wants to play, unless he's playing out on the right, it's not going to work, right?
No, and it's also not the type of player he's looking for. Young, up and coming, hungry. He does fit the British check mark, but other than that, you know, offers a lot going forward on his day when he's fit. But the problem is, you know, we don't want another
injury
problem.
So what do you think? You want Gareth Bale on Manchester United?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm set as well, sir. Next bit of news. No more playing catch up for Manchester City as they draw level financially with rivals United thanks to £650 million Puma kit deal per the Daily Mail. City are going to have extra tight jerseys next season, sir. Might as well be see-through. Puma, known for their hysterical
the tightest jerseys in the game.
All Arsenal players was so funny watching them get ready on the sideline. They're all trying to stretch it out before they go on the field. I think they were the first big Premier League team to go with Puma. I wouldn't necessarily be pumped about this, so good on City. They have some more, you know, they'll have extra tight jerseys. It'll be a riot.
I mean, they are catching up with us being out of the Champions League. We're quickly losing that foothold as the number one earner in the league. You know, they're propped up with a lot of funny money, obviously, from their state backers. But at the end of the day, they are getting closer in real terms with a big deal. But we got to get back in the Champions League, and we got to get a new shirt sponsor as well. We got to upgrade the Chevrolet.
Nike all day.
Back
sir.
To Nike.
Back
no
to
more
Nike, 100%. And it's only based on the team that designs the kits. Like, it has nothing to do with ethics. It has nothing to do with, like, Adidas is probably a more pure football brand. I totally agree that Adidas is like old school. If you know, that's the way it is in Europe. But Nike made better kits for United. They put more energy into it. The kits look better. That's the only reason. It has nothing to do with, I could care. I wear Adidas, I wear Nike, but the Adidas kits for United. And there's going to be a bunch of you who tweet me, say I'm nuts. They are so terrible.
They've gotten lazy too. The last couple of years,
they've had the gray one with the stadium shadow on it. The reptile skin one. I mean, the neon orange, I think, third kit we had, that was pretty good. They had some ones with under LVG that weren't terrible.
Yeah, the black with the orange trim.
Kind of the classic, but since then it's been a rough ride. And Nike, I think, overall was just generally better.
Well, they had a bunch of gems in the Rooney and Ronaldo years. Certainly that 07... 08, 08, 09 jerseys.
Yeah, one of the first times they've ever just done the same jersey twice because it was such a good jersey.
It was so good.
It was like
that back line.
I know all the fans know exactly what shirt we're talking about. All right, we can go on all day. Next bit of news, Manchester United ready to spend big on Sancho and Haaland. We kind of touched on that. Goal.com, sir. This has got to be Muppetry, right? I mean, I asked Santa for it. I'll write it on the list, sir. I asked Santa for Haaland and Sancho.
I take That'd one.
Be a blockbuster January, the biggest January arguably in the history of this club. Even the EPL, you bring in two players like that. I did hear that we would get Haaland and then loan him back for the rest of the season because of commitment, cup tie.
That is the rumor. He wants to see out the rest of the season. That feels like a likely one. You know, I could see us getting one of these signings, but definitely not two of them, given our tight wad owners and how they've, you know, approached the most recent transfer windows. We have not spent a lot of money. So to do a double swoop, so upwards of around £200 million, that feels far-fetched. But I think if we can get one of these off, that would be a very successful window.
So I actually did a poll. I don't think we actually talked about it. I think it was early last week. It was the Sancho or Madison. If you could have one, who would you have? And surprisingly, everyone picked James Madison over Sancho. Yeah.
I think primarily proven, you know, the fact that he's shown that he can play in this league.
But the valuation for Sancho is like way higher than it is for Madison. So Sancho seems like the sexy signing. He's English, plays with Lingard.
He's going to be a lot too, though. What, 100 million?
Probably 120.
120.
Funny Something money. Stupid. Yeah, but he is very good. And he's very good in FIFA, sir. The more players...
Most importantly, he translates well on your FIFA Ultimate Team, which is all we really care about. That's why we watch football.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of... those two worlds do collide.
They certainly
do. If
you
like Manchester United, you want good FIFA players as well. It's part of the game. But I think that's it on all the transfer muppetry. A lot of noise. I guess one final point. Mario Mandzukic, I heard that was out. The rumor's been coming in. There was another rumor saying that there's no way he's moving. It's total BS. If the one player we added was Mandzukic, based on how we've been doing the transfer windows, I wouldn't complain. Like, would you?
I mean, him or nothing. It's better than nothing. I like the experience he offers and the leadership in the dressing room. I think we can use a little bit of that grit that he brings on and off the field. But I'd rather have Haaland. I'd rather have like a long-term project. But you know,
With Ed Woodward at the top of the food chain.
It's Mandzukic all day, right?
I'm telling all the fans for their mental health. Low expectations goes a long way. So I expect us to sign no one in January, sir. That is the baseline. Convince me from there. You think we're bringing in one or two?
Maybe like a Mandzukic, like a freak.
Yeah, 0.5 bodies we bring in. That's kind of the
amount. that's over under is half a body. Yeah,
exactly.
Not looking good.
All right, sir, we mentioned it earlier in the podcast, a little quote from the former Tottenham manager here.
The most important that is clear that we are all together and we are going to find a way to win again.
That was Pochettino in October, sir, and he is out at Tottenham. I think this is a pretty monumental story, one of the upcoming managerial prospects in world football. I think he's talked to Real Madrid. He's talked to Manchester United. I think he has basically... Manchester United, Bayern Munich, or Real Madrid, whatever job he wants, he will probably get.
He's got pick of the litter, doesn't he? Right. I mean, he's certainly earned it at this point. If you think about where Tottenham were before Mauricio Pochettino, miles off, you know, went to the Champions League final, two cup finals, never took home any trophies, but, you know, got him into finals nonetheless. So,
but we're complaining about transfers at United compared to Poch at Tottenham.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and they're not going to get better getting rid of him. I know they're, I think, likely bringing in Mourinho. That's the rumor around town, at least. But I think Pochettino is the man that got him there. And, you know, they started off rough, just like we have. But you got to stick with your man long term.
He's friends with Sir Alex Ferguson. Sir Alex Ferguson does rate him. I do think that he would have been the man to come in originally instead of David Moyes. It has ended bad at Tottenham, though. So a lot of people say, why would you hire him? Look at how bad Tottenham's doing. You know, if you look at their team, the roster looks probably even better than what Ole has, and Ole seems to be doing better than Tottenham. So what's the argument for wanting Pochettino? Is it just his resume is that good that we need to bring him in?
I mean, he's had a great run. He went to the Champions League final, of course, and that was no small feat. You know, he's had some good finishes in the Premier League table, and obviously shown the ability to cultivate talent, bring in young attacking players, you know, build a defense, and he's done that. So I'm not saying I want him to replace Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but he's definitely, you know, probably the best available manager for a long-term vision at a club that you could bring in.
And I think the real conversation for fans is, has Ole done enough to earn the job long-term, and how much do you like Pochettino, right? Because if Ole was... Ole's at the wheel, how does it feel? Top four, we're killing it. This wouldn't even be a thing. It's just because Ole... you know, we've been up and down. It's kind of like nobody knows where we're going to end up at the end of the year. It could look ugly. It could look good. And that's why I think we have to pause on sort of the Poch, you know, in talk. You can't make up your mind now because Ole's still at the wheel, right?
He's at the wheel, 4 out of 5. And I think we need to see how at least December and January play out, right? The holiday seasons are very telling.
You're right.
How good of a team you have. Let's see how that goes.
Great points.
You know, man. And we have Sheffield United is going to be a big game as well, sir. So we need to kick on, keep winning, and we need to most importantly win on the road against these teams that are going to sit back and absorb our pressure.
So we sent out a quick tweet today around noon. We said if Poch has left Spurs, and now that Poch has left Spurs, should Manchester United move to hire him? Sir, yes, hire Poch was 44%. No, Ole's at the wheel, 56%. Almost 400 votes here, sir. I mean, statistically significant survey data. The fan base is very split. It's interesting. I thought Ole 4 or 5. You think Ole'd be 67?
It's something close, but we haven't been playing great. You know, we're sitting in 7th position and not looking very attacking or dangerous on the road.
I mean, look at the roster. I mean, the roster has to come in. I mean, there's a lot of things.
People are hot on Pochettino as well, you know?
So there's some comments here. Let's just get into what you guys think. We could yap all day. At United Down Under, Australian fan podcast from Manchester United, they say, quote, neither of the above. So I guess the reply to them is...
neither of the above. Okay, so who do you want? Back to Mourinho?
I don't know.
That's hard.
I thought that was a unique take, sir. No one else said that. Next tweet at Surya_D_R, quote, seeing how Spurs are doing in the league, there's no proper answer for this. So again, high kind of shooting, hey, Pochettino did terrible. Why would you hire him? At Malacuti_3 on Twitter, quote, the team actually seems to be improving lately. I say we wait until the end of the season. If things don't keep progressing forward, we make the change and get a director of football to work with Poch and to build a team. Reasonable take here.
And I have to think that, you know, Pochettino is going to have the pick of the litter in terms of teams. So he's not going to rush into it. I think he's going to be thoughtful about where he goes. So I think we'll have time to make decisions. He's not going to get snapped up in a month. That's all I'm saying. And I think let's see how Ole does.
March,
we're all rooting for him. You know, by spring you'll know.
April.
By the time we hopefully go see Spurs away, we should have an idea.
Yes, it's going to be interesting. And another great take here from at Osto on Twitter. I try to pronounce these names as best I can here.
Twitter handles are
very job. Very hard, sir. Just as hard as some of those footballer names. Quote, this is one of the hardest questions ever, unquote, sir. It's a very difficult question, right? He says it. It's like one of the hardest ones. Like for a fan, that's why the fan base is so split. It's Ole or Poch. You don't know. You could hire Ole. I mean, you could hire Pochettino. You could do terrible. Ole could be the man. You could fire him too soon. You never know. You absolutely never know. Even Sir Alex had his tough times at United. Not as tough as this, but you know.
Nonetheless,
at Clover_Lane on Twitter, quote, how is this even a question? Whoever votes Ole in this situation needs to have their head and football knowledge checked immediately.
Wow.
Poch is an absolute game changer, sir. So pro Poch, what do you think? That take.
I mean, he's a game changer, but look at this season fell apart for him. I think Ole's our man. He's our manager. We've given him the keys to the Ferrari, and we have to see how at least the next couple of months play out before we're willing to make that kind of decision and drop the guy that we've invested in, who, you know, given the reins to. And I think everyone, I know they're pushing for him. They might not think he's the right man, but they're all certainly rooting for him.
So, sir, in response to that comment by at Clover_Lane, we had a response here from at Param_Feels, quote, not so. If we've been watching United's evolution under Ole closely enough this season, United's formation and starting lineup in the last 3 games substantiate the progress. Still firmly hashtag Ole's at the wheel. However, time for Manchester United to be creative and get Maurizio too.
Assistant coach.
I was like
a DOF. I don't know where he's going with that one.
Director of football. That'd be a winner chicken dinner. So interesting idea.
Picking over transfers for sure.
I mean, it's nice to have Ole involved. I get the idea, but it's one of those ain't going to happen because Ole, I think, has earned the prowess. Like, even if he doesn't make it United next year, he'll get hired by a big team. Like, maybe not like Madrid team, but he'll get hired by like Sheffield United.
No, I think he's got a Premier League job for the foreseeable future, right?
A championship at the least, you know? Norwich.
No doubt. Norwich. We'll see what happens because we got a lot of games left, we got a lot of season left. And we got to see if this most recent run of form was a false dawn or if actually like things are turning. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of positive indicators the ship might be turning.
Next tweet at T Ross Man United, quote, hell no. He had a better squad at Spurs than United currently have, is in 14th place in the EPL. He is done in the EPL. Time for him to go back to Spain.
Yikes. There you go. holding no punches.
I think he's Argentinian.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did coach in Spain. He did coach in Spain.
That's the reference.
No, that's not like a comeback on the comeback, sir. But Pochettino, I'm not going to entertain the thought. Let's just see how Ole does at the end of the season. Rate him then. I'm sure if it's going bad, we'll know by February. It's going real bad.
I think the holiday patch is going to tell us. You know, we got to get some of these injuries back for sure. But we're going to see what kind of team we have, what they're made of when we have those, you know, games every three, four days over the holidays.
All right, sir, we have a few just regular fan questions not related to Pochettino. I do find it strange that we devoted so much time talking about the Argentinian coach, but it seems that Manchester United fans, you know, a lot of people want to hire him. I think people are just frustrated with the uncertainty around Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, and I think, right? You know, his track record has been up and down, right? He's had great runs of form, like we started off when he first was appointed, and then he's looked absolutely dismal at times after he got the full-time job. So this season was a fresh start for him. It started off pretty rocky, but I think you're a knob to fire your manager before the holidays. And we, you know, no matter how dire it's gotten,
well,
you got to see how the rest of it plays out. And I think by New Year's, you'll have a good sense. And we might still be at seventh, but we got to see like how the team's progressing. If the style of play is improving game on game, if we're looking,
and you can't say that now.
To watch,
you can't.
It's gotten better. It has gotten better in the last couple games.
It has. Once he started changing the tactics a little bit, being a little more brave, I think, as a manager. Like, I think he was kind of frozen there for a little bit, and he kind of came to the edge and he changed it up. So, and also seeing the players respond at Liverpool was huge, right? Yeah. I don't think the players are going to show up. They're not. They don't have that, iron will like the Sir Alex Ferguson sides had, where they turn up every day, no matter where, no matter the weather, no matter the stadium, they would turn up. They would always win. I think these are young lads, they're learning, right? So I think to have them show up like every game away, you know, after like a tough turnaround midweek in Europa League, it's good. You're seeing a little bit of that immaturity, right? Because to be a winner that consistently is...
It's a young team, though.
Ain't easy.
No, it isn't. And it's a young team, but they show a decent amount of grit, and they have shown a marked improvement in that category. So I think, you know, we're building something. It's a foundation, and hopefully it can kick on and only improve as these boys get more confident and realize that, you know, nothing to fear. They're playing for the greatest club in the world.
And that go Dan out there and James, play. Sir, that Dan James. We don't talk about Dan James. We should have like another pod, the Dan James pod.
The Dan James show.
Unbelievable from the youngster. I mean, I completely wrote him off. Like, you can listen to the podcast. What did I say? I said,
poor man something. but he's a hell of a player, showing a lot of
promise. No, I said it was the thing we did was, is he a Zlatan or Obertan?
Yeah, I
said he was a Gabriel Obertan. I totally, Steerreich 3, sir. Unbelievable. But if you watch him play for Wales as well, another great highlight, hit the bar. He can play on the right, he can play on the left. He's absolutely rapid. He's got a hell of a boot. Can bend one in. I mean, like, he's so young. I just worry about him he gets so beat up in a game. That's the one thing is that we need like that Ferdinand on the field. Maguire has to kind of be a little protective, right?
About him. That's where the championship pays off, right? Going there and getting the shit kicked out of you for a couple of years. You certainly learn a little bit of grit, and the boy has it because he's used to getting hit at this point. It's kind of like Ronaldo when he came in the league. He got the crap kicked out of him, and I think it toughens you up.
I never saw Ronaldo get like yoked like that because Dan James is a tiny tot.
Yeah, he gets hit in the head.
Tiny tot. All right, our first regular fan question here at Marco Nunez 408, quote, is Greenwood the answer at right wing or a backup striker or both, sir? If so, do we focus on signing a creative central attacking midfielder? So I guess the question is he going to be a right winger or is he going to be a backup striker? I think he's a backup number nine.
I like him as a second striker. You know, I think he's a natural finisher. I want him in the box shooting as much as possible.
He looks good on the right, though.
He can do a job on the right wing, you know, until we fill that position. But ultimately, long-term, where I want to see the lad as he progresses throughout his career is as number nine in the box.
You know he's a boss because he finishes on his left, like
nobody's business.
Like on the right wing coming in on the left foot, it's just like that's like RVP like status. And it's like when you see him doing that, you see glimpses of that in real matches, and he's that young, it's like Rashford, watch out. You know, I think Rashford, Martial, and Greenwood next season. Dan James, then he's on the bench. You know, the thing about here is Greenwood really steps up. Then you kind of have some flexibility in your attack on the bench and resting players. It's really, we haven't had that. It's kind of, it takes time for young players to produce. I mean, not Dan James, but for Greenwood, he needs those minutes, I think.
No, he's going to need more experience in the league. He's very young. We have to remind ourselves of that. He's, you know, much younger than Marcus Rashford, and he's going to need time to develop to the
but
pace,
he's ready.
The physicality. He's ready to play.
And Chong's not ready, but he's ready. You know, Chong's on the
different
edge.
Different caliber of player, too. Greenwood is like the truth. He's going to be a proper player, and I think the verdict is still out on Chongy.
Well, no, I think he'll be able to do it. I just think it's kind of, it takes some time for him to get in the league at game pace, because what he tries to pull off, clearly he's a boss when he plays for the youth, but coming up to the big leagues, it's like Greenwood seems to retain that kind of his finishing capability, and Chong kind of, I think he's a little rash. I think it's just a maturity thing. He'll get there. He was linked to, I think Barcelona was interested in him, sir. So, I mean,
maybe
if you look at the youth, it's pretty positive. It's just we're not there yet. I think that's the frustration with all these fans. But I would agree we need James Maddison here, creative center attacking midfielder, sir. What do you think?
No, you need a cam for sure. I mean, I think Pereira has kind of stepped up, shown he has some potential there. But Lingard has been a disappointment. Mata doesn't offer any pace. And you'd like to see someone that offers a real threat going forward. That's where you like James Maddison. He's a hell of a player. Attacking wise, can, you know, create a lot of chances for your strikers.
Yeah, and Pereira can swap out. Pereira can be on the bench. You can bring him in. I like that combination. It's just like right now you're seeing Ole play with a team where he has to get a start Pereira there, when in actuality we need a James Maddison to come in, get Pereira on the bench, get him some minutes. It's just like a lot of these players are kind of rushed.
Yeah.
When Greenwood's playing number nine, you know, our Gardner's playing his first game away in like Serbia, sir. It's like these are tough times as far as squad depth goes. Next tweet here at Brian Vargas 23, quote, what are some of the realistic winter signings, Mandzukic, Longstaff, and do you see United selling anyone, sir? The only person I've heard us talking about selling is Sanchez. We want a deal, final deal for Sanchez. We want him out of the club completely.
And there is rumor that we're going to ship another midfield in Nemanja Matic. They're talking about him maybe going to Italy. He's fallen out completely with Ole. That is the rumor mill. But I think, you know, given how thin we are in midfield,
how do you feel about
not replacing Fellaini, Herrera? I think he'd be crazy to get rid of Matic as well.
Is Matic, is he really that bad? He's like a veteran EPL player, won the
he's
league.
He's fallen off quite a bit. He's gotten older and he's lost a step or two for sure. But he still has a body. I think at the end of the day, this team needs bodies, given all the injuries we have, and given that we're thin in that position to begin with. Unless you're going to replace him, which, you know, you never know. Remains to be seen with this ownership.
He's undroppable with Mourinho. Now he's completely like gone. I mean, I think he could do a job for us, you know, protect the league lead if we're up.
I agree.
Like,
you could put him in as a sub.
He's not a bad player.
He offers leadership. You know, he has experience, but he's not necessarily I want to get rid of unless we're going to replace him.
And I think this is a point that Ole, maybe he gets wrong that frustrates fans, is he's to a T, he only wants his players there, right? It's like he only wants to play a certain style. He only wants to play with certain players. He will not compromise on that at all. I think when we saw with Mourinho, he was trying to compromise and say, hey, look, this is the best I got. But Ole really will like cut off his nose to spite his face to play the players he likes in the way he wants to play almost. And that's kind of where you kind of say, hey, what are these players doing on the bench? Why is Matic not playing? Because if you're doing Football Manager, Matic next man up, he's got a better rating in FIFA.
Yeah, certainly does. But man's got his principles, and he likes his players that know how to play the style of football that apparently he wants to play.
Fred.
Yeah, he's grown in the last couple of games. He's gotten better.
No Montage.
You have to talk about Fred's recent rise in form, sir.
Two games, sir. Let's see.
Let's see how he does against Sheffield United.
Sir, how about you get your Fred jersey now so you can get ready to burn
good.
It?
I'm good.
I think that is a wrap on fan questions, sir. Going into housekeeping, just want to say thanks so much for the support. Filling out the surveys online on Twitter. It was absolute riot over international break, and we have a special shout out. We had basically the best photo I think we've ever seen on Twitter. Our boy at Vincinity, sir. How can you try to pronounce that Twitter handle there? Vicinity Van City. There you go. Vicinity Van City.
Epic photo.
I think he's on the Log Splash roller coaster at, no, it says Himalayan Escapes, Disneyland, rocking the Glazers out tee. So shout out. One of the most hysterical photos I've seen. So we retweeted it if you want to check it out on Twitter. But that segues into the best way to support the pod. Sir, the merch. I think the Glazers Out shirt is pretty cheap. It was $9.99 or something like that. We have
$14.99. It's a deal, sir. Scarf's $9.99.
Yeah, so our ownership, they got more debt. We got to get them out. This is the best way to support the pod as well as protest ownership, sir. Double winner chicken dinner. You tried to order some shirts recently. I have some news on that front. We got the bad shirt. The font seems a little off.
A little off. It's a little off. They're not going to fly for our fans.
So we'll be doing some shirt giveaways because we got to redo the shirts. This is just, we're giving you real speak. This is how we run this podcast, sir. We just
shoot from the hip.
The font's a little light. It needs to be bold, the American Red Devils, but it still looks pretty baller. We'll give a few away on Twitter, and we'll be giving away during matches as well. But again, we have no ads. We're just yipping here, sir. We do this for the love of the club that is Manchester United. And it's tough on a international break. Like, what do you do? It's like, I watch some NFL. I have to admit, I do like the NFL, sir. What'd you do?
I watched some college football. Went for walks outside. Enjoyed some fresh air. Didn't have the excitement of the mornings, which I miss. You know, I'm like getting up 6 a.m., 8 a.m. on Sunday, Saturday, watch the boys play. It's a great way to start the weekend.
Well, I hate the fact the international break, it's like you get so many games and then it just stops for 2 weeks. It's like we got Thursday, Sunday, you know, it's like all these matches crammed in and then there's 2 weeks where there's like absolute nothing. I mean, I'm just obviously international football, but you know, there's not much to look forward to.
I need my Premier League back. You know, yeah. I can't wait for my Premier League mornings.
Yeah. Well, we will be enjoying our Premier League mornings against Sheffield United, sir. It's been a hell of a week on downloads. You want to hit us off with our top cities last 7 days?
Sir, number one, how you doing? Florence, South Carolina. Number two, Shireton, a.k.a. Oslo, Norway. Appreciate you. And number three, West Palm Beach, Florida. How you doing?
Number four, San Francisco, California. Woodland Hills, California. Bedford, Ohio. Sir, finish us off on this list.
Leesburg, Florida. Denver, Colorado. Atlanta, Georgia. And last but not least, Singapore. We appreciate all the downloads. Another great week. And we have the best fans in the world, so nothing to complain about there.
Sir, Glazers out, Disney World. Strong move. You know, I mean, that's for...
With his daughter. Appreciate that. Pure respect. You know, obviously, she's having a great time.
I was thinking about getting a Glazers out onesie for Jack. I thought that'd be a riot.
I think that's a good move.
But again, we just need to invest in the club, sir. They can fire two bullets in January. I think we'd be in a much better spot. But you know, it all starts with Sheffield United. Live or die by playing away, sir.
Got to win, sir. All 3 points.
As always,
kicking a blue.